they dominated the glass by 15. So it was a rebound of 55 to 40. That is unacceptable. And we talked all day in preparation for this team that they're a very good, very physical rebounding team. We failed to meet that challenge, obviously. The paint, you know, I think in our three losses now, we're giving up 57, 58 in the paint. And our four wins, I think we only give up around mid-30s. So, you know, they lived in the paint. They rebounded us. I didn't think we were ready to play. You know, I think we had some guys that looked like they had no energy out there, just kind of fatigued, tired, or whatever you want to call it. And then, obviously, I think we had a lead. They took a timeout in the third quarter, and they wound up going on, I believe, a 16-2 run. So, yes, we couldn't make a shot. We haven't made shots from three the whole season, let's be honest. So 9 of 38, we only got to the foul line 15 times. When your jump shot's not going, find other ways, attack the basket, get to the free throw line, whatever it may be. And their bench, obviously, Tyus Jones, Xavier Tillman, those guys combined for, I think, 29 points. So, you know, we have to do a much better job on Wednesday night of trying to contain Ja Morant. But that's a challenge. He's a great player. You can't allow their bench to come in and dominate us the way they did.
So basically everything went wrong in this game. There's a head coach for the Denver Nuggets, Michael Malone. Rough outing for Denver. Joker did his thing, only shot 15 times. He's efficient, 23 points, 7 assists, 7 boards. Another nice game for the Joker. You're never going to knock that guy. I mean, he doesn't have a bad game anymore. He's that good of a player. Aaron Gordon, first half, that's our Orlando Magic version of Aaron Gordon. He was doing those things. He was tough, 15 points, 10 boards. Then he kind of faded in that second half. The bench, a little bit better. I really like Bones Highland. Keep going with that. 16 minutes, I liked it. Zeke Nagy is going to be the guy that's going to lose the minutes, for the rookie from last year. So he's going to probably be, do you see him sticking around this team long? I mean, that's how it goes sometimes. When you don't need rookies, you get guys that you think are going to be good, and you go, oh, we're excited about Zeke. Then Bones Highland comes along, and then they get the back seat, and you got to move guys around.
Yeah, with the way Malone runs his 10, 11 personnel groups, you know, it's kind of who fits in that bottom five,
right.
Six. And Najee's just find himself on the end of the bench.
Yeah, well, he loves the greens. I mean, Malone finds these guys that are not like obvious guys that we love. But he just finds guys that he just absolutely is crazy about. And Jamichael Green, Jeff Green, he loves the greens. Very confusing in the stat line, though, because they're both Jay Green. They're both power forwards. So you have to really dig in deep and hover over the name to see who had 8 points and who had 9 points. They're like the same guy almost. My goodness. Faku, 2 points. And again, you're going to get the good, the bad, the ugly with Faku. You're going to get the sensational and how the hell did that just happen. And then you're going to get easy there, man. Slow down. Bones Highland looked good. Austin Rivers is losing. He didn't play at all last night, so he's going to lose minutes. All that, the glaring thing to me is MPJ. I mean, that's the glaring issue I see. 10 points plus 3. He had 8 boards. I mean, and listen, if you're watching that game last night, who's responsible for all those boards? You had Joker blocking out Adams the whole game, clearing the way for Gordon and Porter to just rip up boards. If you're watching the X's and O's of games and you're saying, I think the over-under for Joker was 11 rebounds, you take the under, no, and you take the over on whatever the hell it was for Porter and Gordon. Because they're going to rebound while Joker does all the work. That's just because Adams is a rebounding machine. So you have to have somebody designated and say, hey, don't leave your feet on a defensive board. You just have to block out Adams. Are you panicking yet? We're 7 games in and Porter has yet to take hold. I saw our boy Harrison Wind from DNVR Nuggets tweeted out that, is that right? Porter has yet to make a corner three?
Yep.
Are you hitting the panic button yet?
I'm getting close. You know, I'm a huge Michael Porter Jr. fan. I bought his jersey 2 weeks ago.
So yeah,
I'm really rooting
that.
For this kid to get going.
What do you do with that thing?
It sits in the closet. I mean, I bring it out on when.
But what do you do if he's gone? If like they trade him? No one's going to take that trade. By the way,
I can't take it back to Altitude. They won't take it.
Yeah, probably not. You can't trade him. That was the... Listen, this is another reason why Brady would never be a good GM. I would have done this move as well. But when do we say that the move's not working out? How far do we go? Do we 10 games, 20 games, the season, next season? How far do you go before you go, all right, this didn't work? I've counted two, maybe three games in a row where to start the game, they try to get it to Porter early, first possession, and the ball is knocked out of his hands. He either turns it over or they struggle to get it back. One was a bad pass last night, and I'll get that, but where's the oomph? You know, grab that basket. Where, I saw it a couple times on some rebounds, but he goes up for a wide-open dunk last night, takes his time. What happens? Player comes up, gets the foul. All right, sends him to the line. I think he missed both. Gets the foul. You have to know in this league that defensive players are not giving up, and they're watching film of MPJ now, and they're going, he's lazy with the basketball. He's going to go. He could be on a fast break, but if you sprint, he's in no hurry. He's going to go up and try to just take this nonchalant dunk that looks cool, but he's not going hard. He's not making his shots. Nobody's making shots, in fairness. I mean, 9 of 38 from the three-point line. Here's my question is, why is there a discussion at one of these timeouts that says, drive to the basket? But then you have to be careful, because what you do sometimes with that is you force players to back away and not want to shoot threes ever again. And Porter got his contract because of three-pointers. So at some point, Malone, he's the head coach. He has to find that. He has to find that challenge. He has to find that that mix, that balance for, hey, 9 of 38. At some point, we got to start driving to the basket if it's not falling. You have to see that ball go through the hoop a few times. Porter did it a few times in that first half, and it was beautiful. And I thought, he's going to get to the 20s tonight. He does not look like the offensive player. I'll give you this. Doesn't it seem like he's doing everything else a little bit better than last year, save for the scoring?
I would say so. You know, you see his assists going up. You see his rebounds going up. His defense is looking a little better. And you would hope that that's not overshadowing his offense, and he's not focused that much on that, because he just, I don't know, might think his jump shot is perfect. It looks good, but let's get it in the basket.
Yeah, I mean, it does look good. He has a nice-looking shot. He's the kind of guy that looks good even when he misses it. But, and listen, nobody's making it. Barton was 0 for 2. Joker was 2 for 6. Gordon was 2 for 5. Morris 1 for 5. Green was 0 for 2. The other Green was 1 for 3. Campazzo was 0 for 2. Highland was 2 for 6. The rookie shot the second most amount of threes. The rookie and the MVP, how about that? And then Dozier was 1 for 4. Just bad shot selection. In fact, here's Michael Malone talking about the bad shot selection, and then, of course, they're just absolute defeat in the paint.
Just like great ball movement and playing for your teammates can really bring a team together. And we had 27 assists tonight, you know what I mean? And we shot the ball as poorly as we did. If we would have made a few more shots, we're over 30 assists. We only had 12 turnovers. That was a positive, the assist turnover ratio. But the rebounding, the paint defense, and again, you got to understand why you win and why you lose in this business. And that's three games now that we've lost that we've gotten our butts kicked in the paint. And, you know, we have to do a much better job of fixing that.
A lot to fix. Shot selection, though, yeah, that can hurt you. Because if time after time you get the stop, then you go down the floor, and someone just throws up a three and keeps missing, and it's like, man, right back to work, right back to running down there. It can get frustrating. But when you're all doing it, nobody can point the finger. Free throws weren't exceptionally great either. Porter was 2 for 4. Gordon 1 for 3. I mean, 10 of 15. It's not even the percentage that's killing me. It's the 15. You know, getting to the line 15 times. That's what's crazy to me. But you lose 106-97. You had your opportunities. Now they got a break today. And then they're in the same exact spot tomorrow. This at Memphis thing has a weird look. What are they doing today? They're going to go, yeah, we talked about that.
Country Music Hall of Fame. You got, you know, Graceland in Nashville, I think, or Memphis. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to
there's
do.
There's stuff
in
they can do. I can see Joker going to the Country Music Hall of Fame, see what's going on with that.
I would love to see that. Like, if we can get a video tonight of Joker, like, yeah, square dancing or something.
Yeah.
Can we get Katie Wingy on that?
Yeah. I'm surprised they wouldn't do that. I mean, it seems like right up their alley for something fun to do. Yeah, I think we're getting to that point. Angel, I always break up the NBA season like this for the show because it's a long season. And I always go first 10 games. First 10, second 10, third 10, just go down the list until you get to your 8. So I go first 10 games. We're not there yet, so it's you can't give your full 10-game assessment. So when we get to that 10-game mark, the trend looks like, all right, Joker's in MVP form. When Gordon is playing like Orlando Magic star Gordon, you're rolling. Barton's been the second best player, but Barton's going to Barton. He had 4 points last night. He's 1 of 8. Porter, where are you? Just signed your big contract. What's going on? And then the bench. Bones Highland's exciting, but I mean, you're going to rely a lot on him off the bench right off the bat. And that's a lot of pressure to put on him. Mysterio, maybe practice free throws. You have to make them because they are free. It's true. I'm always amazed that people, and again, I never played at that level, but are you ever amazed that some players can be so bad at free throws? It's like, dude, you can literally be paid to shoot free throws.
It's interesting because you see guys like Steph Curry that'll be in the gym for 3 hours mm-hmm. shooting free throws. And then sometimes you just get up there and the jump shot looks ugly or their mechanics are off. Like, you guys practice. Like, whatever happened to, like, you can't leave the court unless you make a free throw.
Or you don't leave on a you make, like, 20 in a row or something like that. Nuggets got some work to do on that side. They've got to make some free throws. They've got to stop settling for threes. Michael Porter Jr. has to play up to that contract. Because here's the thing. If you're Tim Connelly right now, you're nervous. Because nobody's taking that contract. You're not trading that away. You're with Porter for better or for worse. I mean, can release him and all that stuff, but there's a lot of guaranteed money. You're not there yet.
I feel like the Nuggets are kind of right where we kind of thought they would be without Murray at this point.
Yeah, 4-3 is nothing to scream about.
You know, it's still early. We got 2 more months until the end of the year, and then we'll start getting into, okay, Murray's going to be back soon. Where are we at that point? And so I think now they're just getting warmed up, and, you know, hopefully Michael and the rest of them can step it up.
You have to have Michael, though. Again, you got it. Gordon's, I mean, I wrote, it's a big four for Denver. It's supposed to be. That's the dream. Because they did sign. Don't forget, they re-signed everybody. Gordon has got a long-term contract. Porter's got a long-term contract. They hooked up Barton for this season and next season. This is the group. This is who they're saying is going to win us a title. Yes, Jamal Murray is in that mix as well. So they're at Memphis Wednesday. And Memphis is actually, they're going to be a good team. Ja Morant's just freaky good. I did like seeing Bones Highland on him a little bit. I want to see rookies go up against the best early. I want to see that trust from Malone.
Bones looks so fast on the floor. It's ridiculous.
I like his mechanics. It's simple things to me. Playing defense, and what does he do? He's in a defensive stance that they teach you in junior high. You know, you get down, you know, you lower your knees. You bend your knees, you put your hands out, stick your butt out, and you're ready to go, man. You're ready to swat like a crab moving left to right. You got Porter who's kind of just, help. But you see Bones, and he's got the set, man. He may not have it yet, all there yet. He's got to learn how to get around screens and learn how to communicate more on defense, but it's little things like that. Scott Hastings said it on the broadcast last night. They move faster. Why is that? Oh, look who's in the game. Porter's not moving fast.
When you see a young guy moving and working hard, it makes you want to work hard. And Bones brings that energy off the bench.
Yeah, no question. That's why I'm excited about this guy. Was it Friday when they're destroying Dallas? I mean, it's Bones comes in, they go nuts. Bol Bol comes in, they go really nuts. But I got to go back to Porter. There's a play in the second period where he gets the ball, passes it off real quick, shimmies, demands it back, drives to the lane, easy two, beautiful. And you go, wow, that's what he can do. Why does that not happen more? You ask yourself. Because when it looks so easy, that guy could get to the line even if he does that more. Why is he not doing it more? Is it the play calling is to keep him out of it, or is he just not being aggressive calling for the ball? He's not a liability anymore, which I'll say that. He used to be a liability on defense and offense. He'd just throw it up. but still has a tendency to look a little lost out there. His spacing's not good. He's standing right next to Faku Campazu, who gets the ball, and it's like, dude, you're bringing two. Now you got two guys guarding Faku, and you're not open either.
It feels like he's trying to be a little more patient with his shots. He's not just catching and shooting a random three-pointer. He's trying to take his time. If it's not there, he'll pass it away.
But there's a lot going on in his head, I think.
Yeah, he's and thinking too much. It almost
that's
seems.
What's tough is because you want a player like that to feel, to just feel it and go. And sometimes that's going to be stupid shots. You're trying not to coach him too much. But I do feel like, and I'm not knocking Malone on this, because I think you have to fix something if he's going to be, if, well, he is a max contract guy. You have to be able to coach him in a way that you're not getting in his head too much. You have to be able to get the best offensive player out of him, but also I want your rebounding. You know, I want your assists. I want your defense. I want you not looking lost out there. I want your hands up. He's a tall, athletic dude. But you just, what is it, the line from The Office? You know what your problem is, Michael? You use your brain too much. Are you advocating that I use my brain less? I suppose. I suppose that is exactly what we're asking. Hey, the GOAT is the sports bar in Greeley, Colorado. Yes, we have a local sports bar. And, man, I'm heading there tonight. Angel, coming out for the coaches show?
We got a show over there tonight, don't we?
We got the Ed McCaffrey coaches show. Jerry Schimmel going to be there. I'm going to be out there hanging out for a while. I'm looking forward to it. So stop by, Hooligans, and listen to Coach. There's only two games left, only two opportunities to see Ed McCaffrey. And then we're transitioning to the Steve Smiley coaches show, which is great, too. So that's the GOAT. No better place to watch a game. Angel will get us the what's on TV later on in the show, too, so you'll figure out what's on the docket, and then you can get out to the GOAT and have a great time. 22 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's get into what's next for the Broncos. Are they, they're 4-4. You shocked the world and beat Dallas. Maybe you win against Philadelphia, and what? You're 6-4. Dare I say, that's a bowl game, Angel. Oh, crap, that's not what we're doing. We'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, you can take a sigh of relief. Your boy's not going anywhere, Angel. Trade deadline's over in like 30 minutes, is that right? Tua's staying as a Dolphin. And you can continue watching the Dolphins do dolphin-y things there. What are they now? What are they got two wins, don't they? Or are they sitting at the one?
They're 1-7.
1-7. All right. Well, see, this, it's great. That's why it's great to have you here, because 4-4 seems like we're going to the Super Bowl.
No, it could be a lot worse. You could have a lot worse situation, Denver.
Are the Broncos done? I mean, I'm not seeing anything.
Technically, no.
No, technically not.
Statistically, no.
I mean, Pro Football Talk tweeted out 5 hours ago, Broncos are trying to make a deadline deal to move cornerback Kyle Fuller, per source. But Zach wasn't too confident that that was going to get done. And then several reports indicating that teams, that the Broncos are receiving high interest from Melvin Gordon. Makes sense, because if you smell blood in the water, so to speak, that the Broncos are selling, you're going to go after their guys that are up, you know, only have this year left on their contract and maybe a little bit older, but there's still value there, like Von Miller, like Melvin Gordon. Those guys make perfect sense to trade away. So, yeah, are the Broncos done? And what is George Payton says he still wants to win? Well, yeah, I don't think any GM is going to come out at 4-4, especially, and say, you know what, we're done. Time to fire sale. We're getting rid of everybody. And we're starting from scratch. No, you want to try to keep butts in the stands for your remaining few home games. So you're not gonna give up necessarily. Texter here on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Bart needs to go back to the bench and run the second team, or it's going to be a long season ahead. And isn't this always the conversation that we have about Will Barton? Is that he's not quite a starter. He needs to be on the bench. Well, he was supposed to be. Because there for a while, obviously at the beginning of last year, it was supposed to be Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Barton, but then eventually transitioned Porter into that role. And then you have the Joker there at five, and that's kind of how you're rolling. And then Paul Millsap was at the four. And then as Porter got more involved, you know, you moved. He had the COVID weird stuff going on, but then he transitioned to that three guy. But then you traded Gary Harris, and Aaron Gordon comes in, and then Will Barton was hurt, and it was a smorgasbord there. So it kind of worked out. So Barton kind of got his starting job back, and then they liked the way he finished the season, the regular season anyway. And then they got him the new deal. So it's hard to disagree. The staggering thing's kind of working, but how long can you do that? Is that a long-term plan? You don't want to waste your powerful minutes staggering with your bench. Your bench needs to be, they need to close out quarters for you. They need to find out or close out and finish and begin second quarters. They need to find a way to do that. So it's not a long-term plan to stagger. And if Barton goes to the bench, who are you starting? You know, who's starting it to? Are you starting? You're not starting Bones yet, are you? You're not there. You're not going to start PJ. Now, you don't demote a guy. The tough part is I get what you're saying, New, but you can't demote him because the bench is playing poorly.
I think both Monte Morris and Will Barton kind of know once Jamal's back, one of our spots is gone.
Yeah.
So they might be pressing to maybe try to be like, yeah, I'm going to be the fourth, fifth guy in the starting lineup when Jamal's back.
And there might be some matchups where the Nuggets just obviously go 2-point guard. Because Jamal, let's face it, he's not a true point guard. So you could easily have Morris be the point guard and then Jamal the two. You could easily do that. That makes total sense. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, those two guys, even though different positions, both fearful that Jamal will take one of their positions. And if Malone wants to go with Morris to stay at point guard, it makes sense. 32 minutes after the hour. Let's talk about coming up next. We're going to talk to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com, trying to turn the page from a rough Boise State weekend to the border war taking on Wyoming. So we'll talk to Mike about that next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, one of our sponsors here. They're the only family-owned and operated funeral home in Greeley, Evans, in the Greeley, Evans area. Their motto, it's pretty simple, live well, but plan ahead. Services as unique as life. Give Scott or Robin or a member of their wonderful staff a call today, 970-330-6824. Also, this show brought to you by Norfolk Iron and Metal. They are looking for members to join their team. Visit their website at norfolkiron.com or call their Greeley location at 970-352-6722 to find out why your next job should be at Norfolk Iron and Metal. This is, I think Mike's trying to call in right now, Angel. We'll see. If you want to maybe try to give him a buzz right back, and we'll see if he's on the line. We'll always catch up with Mike Brohard. There he is. Mike Brohard of CSURams.com. Mike, my friend, always good to catch up with you.
How you doing today, sir?
You know, I'm doing pretty good on the Broncos side, Mike. It was a bittersweet day yesterday with Von Miller being traded, but if you take a step back, it looked like it was the right move on paper. But I got to tell you, Mike, I could never be a GM. I get too invested in these guys.
Yeah, it took you back. I don't know. I'm still not as upset about that trade as I am Nolan Arenado.
Oh, yeah. That was. So there you go. Okay, that was the answer to our poll question. Which guy did you hate to see leave the most? And you would that is winning, by the way. It's like 75% of the voters are saying Nolan Arenado. So you are not alone.
Well, it's one of the dumber trades of all time. You not only get rid of your best player, but you give them $50 million to take them away. So.
Yeah, I think that adds to a lot of the frustration. No question about it. Mike, a rough second half for Colorado State against Boise State. Man, they looked like they were rocking and rolling, especially in that first quarter. But, you know, settling for field goals ended up, as we see in football, ended up being the demise of this one, and CSU has yet to beat the Broncos. But there were some positives you can take from it, but still, walking away at the end of the day, folks frustrated about that one.
Yeah, and with good reason, because you see a team come out and they're up 13-0 right away. But there's also a little bit of that, oh, God, did we miss chances when we didn't score in the red zone with touchdowns. And then the other two things, the things that were most striking to me were they didn't play, and it's complimentary football. It's when your punter goes out there and pins a team on the three twice, you should not give up a touchdown. The Rams gave up two 97-yard drives in that game, and that's just not what you do. I mean, Ryan Stonehouse flipped the field, gave them every advantage that the defense needed, and they didn't capitalize on it. They had another really cold, stalled third quarter. That allowed Boise State to gain some momentum, and it took off from there.
Yeah, and you're right. That's so frustrating. I was watching in the stands on Saturday. And when Stonehouse punts, I mean, I'm serious, man, and you've seen it, everybody just kind of stops. It's like time stops for a minute because we're about ready to witness something great, and it's a punt, for crying out loud, but it's so magical to see it. But it's even that much more frustrating, like you said, when you see a great punt like that, and then you just see the offense take it from there and run right down the field.
Yeah, that's a hard part. I mean, when you have a weapon like Ryan Stonehouse, and I think it is rare, but CSU fans love watching him punt because he's just been so good for so long. I mean, he is the NCAA's career active leader, career leader overall in punting average. And he's good. And he will get some distance and he will get some height and he will pin teams. But the reason you want a punter like that is so your defense has the advantage and you expect the defense to take hold. The way the defense had played the 2 weeks prior, you didn't expect to see either one of those drives happen.
Yeah, and again, with Boise State, if you give them so many opportunities, at those kind of teams, and a lot of teams, Mike, it's almost like a confidence booster when you say, hey, we're not playing our best football, but we're only down 13-0. Wow, we can do this thing. And if you let that stick around long enough, especially a team like Boise State with the history plus Hank Bachmeier, most of the time they're going to find ways to take advantage of it, and they did in that second half.
And they did, and Boise came at CSU's defense with a different tempo than they've seen. A lot of quick passing, which kind of negated the pass rush, which has been so effective for Colorado State this year. So they came in with a good game plan, but still, 97-yard drive. There's too many opportunities for mistakes to be made in that, and they just didn't make them. So you tip your hat to Boise State, but I also know that CSU's defense walks away going, we can't let that happen.
Yeah, I know they were frustrated too. When talking to Scott Patchen yesterday, he was down on himself, and of course, this defensive line. We've talked about how good they be. Well, good can they be? They need to be great. Obviously, that's kind of a leading unit for this team going forward. But Mike, all can be, I don't know, forgotten, but maybe forgiven. You got the border war coming up this week, and I'm always amazed when I ask fans this question. I'm like, would you rather go to a bowl game? Or just beat your rivals and that's it. You don't go to a bowl game. I'm astonished all the time. People are like, no, we just want to beat Wyoming. We just want to beat Air Force. And, back in the day, we just want to beat the Buffs. They want to beat those rivalries. It's so damn important for Colorado State.
It's so damn important for every college football program. That's what your fan base goes on. Do you beat your rivals? It's the one knock that they had against my fellow. Nicky won his first two rivalry games and then didn't win another one. You've got to beat your rivals, and Wyoming is the most heated one of all time. This goes back to one of the oldest rivalries in college football. We don't even agree on the one loss record, but everybody knows CSU holds the advantage. But it's one of those games that it brings out aggression and it brings out animosity in the fan bases. And the Rams are going to hear a lot of colorful language directed at them from the stands. And it's what makes college football fun. It's those rivalries, they get amped up. Everybody's queued up for these games, and they're important to win. Those are the games that people circle on the coach's resume. Did you beat your rival?
Yeah, I mean, and again, you look at this with all the controversy going around with Coach Addazio, and again, we don't have to call it controversy, but fans are fans get frustrated fast, and there's frustration certainly with especially the last 2 weeks. But if you can find a way to beat Wyoming, and then, of course, we look on to Air Force, but beating Wyoming, first thing first, Addazio's got two in a row when it was taking a while. I mean, Mike, correct, did Bobo beat Wyoming once? Is that right? And if that's the case, yeah. Then, man, you got a guy that already beat Wyoming twice in a row. That's got to stand for something.
It would stand for something. I mean, that's the one. Yeah. You talk to traditional people. I know
the college kids on campus. You know, when the Rocky Mountain Showdown was being played 10 years ago, you wanted to beat your school that was, you know, bigger than you supposedly. And, you know, CU used to refer to CSU as little brother. And so that made maybe younger fan base. But the traditional CSU fans want nothing more than to embarrass Wyoming on an annual basis in whatever we do. So it's football takes the cake most of the time. You play for the Broncos. But they want to beat them in basketball. They want to beat them in tennis. They want to beat them in swimming, which they'll do on Friday before the football game. That's what they want. I mean, I talked to a former player who retired and moved down to Arizona, and he ran, you know, just like a landscaping firm. And, of course, people in Arizona like to go down and spend their winters there. So every time he'd see a Wyoming plate, he would get stickers from Tom Ehlers when he was director of player personnel. And every time he'd see a Wyoming plate come into his parking lot, he would put a CSU sticker on it. That's what this game means.
Yeah, well, no, I absolutely love that. You're right. That's what sucks kind of about all this conference realignment every single – well, now we're going to be in it probably all every single year. But, yeah, you love those rivalries. You love to build on that. When you look at Wyoming, Mike, what concerns do you have? They started off the season 4-0, but we looked at their schedule. It wasn't a crazy tough schedule. So then they get into conference schedule, and now they've lost the last four, sit at 4-4. What sticks out to you when you look at this team as far as concerns for the Rams going forward?
Well, last week, CSU didn't run the ball very well against the Boise State defense. That wasn't exactly great at stopping the run. And so the fact that CSU was averaging less than 2 yards per carry with their traditional run game, i.e. the running backs, and knowing that Wyoming doesn't mind putting a safety in the box, CSU's got to find the run game. That's a lot of what Steve Adazio pointed out. That's part of the problem in the red zone. If you can't run in the red zone, you kind of become one-dimensional, and teams know it. They didn't run at all in that game outside of what Todd Senteo was able to do. So they've got to be able to run the ball against Wyoming. These are two teams that offensively and defensively, they take the same approach. They want to play really good defense. They want to grind it out on offense through the run game, and they want to wear teams down. So who's going to win the battle of attrition in this? One team's going to have a run game that kind of stands out. CSU's going to obviously want to stop the run. They did give up 400 yards of total offense to Boise State, which they hadn't done since the opener. They're going to want to remedy that. They're going to make it tough for a Wyoming offense that was really struggling until they got three touchdowns last week. So they've got to make Wyoming, you know, they've got to make Wyoming struggle again on offense, and they've got to find some ground. They've got to find some firm ground in the run game. They really do this week.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get that run game just really rocking and rolling this Saturday. Mike, appreciate you as always. What are you working on for us, man? All things CSU related that we can check out.
You know, I took a look today. It's come out in about 12 minutes that, you know, Todd Senteo really has progressed as a quarterback, and that's been important for the offense. And he was as advertised. He's been a really good leader for that offense. We'll take a little bit deeper look at some other things down the road, stopping Wyoming next day. But, you know, looking at our tennis team, which has set some history this year by qualifying people for fall nationals for the first time in program history. And so there's a lot to work on.
There's a lot of great stuff going on too, with athletics in general, with Colorado
yeah,
State.
Yeah, crossover season. You got basketball season. It's already started. You know, women's basketball plays their exhibition on Wednesday. Volleyball's got a bounce back match on Thursday. So yeah, it's a fun time. It's a very busy time.
It's a busy time, man. And I know not many busier than you, especially around this time of year. So we'll let you get back at it, my friend. Appreciate you taking some time to talk to us as always, and we'll catch up next week.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Well, with Mike, we'll look forward to talking CSU basketball. They start next week, a week from today. 49 minutes after the hour, Angel's going to come back and tell us what's on tonight. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
On the court tonight, I'll be watching the 4-2 Dallas Mavericks playing host to the 5-1 Miami Heat. The Heat have won 4 of their last 5 games and come into this one as a 2-point road favorite. Tip-off is tonight at 5:30 on TNT. Back on the diamond tonight, we'll be watching the Houston Astros hosting the Atlanta Braves in Game 6 of the World Series. Braves currently lead the series 3-2 and look to close out tonight in Houston. First pitch is tonight at 6 on Fox. Finishing off on the ice tonight, it's the 5-3 San Jose Sharks hosting the 5-2 Buffalo Sabres. Puck drop is tonight at 8:30 on ESPN+.
Okay, Angel, do the Astros hang on to force a game 7, or do you see Atlanta? Boy, it feels like the momentum has kind of been, that last one especially, kind of been sucked out of the lives of the Atlanta Braves at this stage.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like that, and you're hoping they get it done tonight. I know me and Tanner picked them to finish in 6, but if it goes to 7, yikes.
I mean, Houston's favored tonight, right? -1.5, I think. So, that'll be interesting. And yeah, the Mavericks Heat game looks interesting too. Nuggets will be back at it tomorrow on a Wednesday against Memphis. A weird away and away game for the Nuggets at Memphis, 2 in a row. Great show today, man. David Roddy. We're going to be doing the David Roddy Show on Wednesdays this year throughout the basketball season. Man, this guy's a stud. That was fantastic radio. I love it. It's going to be so much fun throughout the season. Zach Stevens joined us to talk all things Broncos. And, of course, Mike Brohard, his thoughts on the weekend that was for the Colorado State Rams and the Boise State Broncos. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. We've got Pick Central coming up next. We've got the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Get your finish off your day the right way. And, of course, the Ed McCaffrey Coaches Show live from the GOAT at 6 o'clock. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.